All right, what's the other one?
I'm going to say God is good all the time. He's going to take care of me. I'm making my stand today against the post office and working on Sundays. And I know that God's good no matter how it plays out. I'm still on the winning team.
All the time.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Daryl?
I got a new friend, and he came to church with me. I'm praising the Lord for it.
Amen. Amen. You going to introduce him, or you just going to let us guess?
Everybody, it's my friend Dedrick. Like Cedric, but with a D, Dedrick.
Dedrick.
Hi, Dedrick. Hey.
I got some praise this morning, too. I want to thank the Lord for his grace, mercy, and his forgiveness and restoration, because I was just telling Daryl that, the things that I took for granted and lost, the Lord is restoring in my life tenfold.
Amen. Amen.
It's the Lord that's doing it.
Yes, indeed.
Not taking credit for his
work. Awesome. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Yes, Leslie.
It's like my praise all has to be, and I apologize. I'm so hesitant to say things, but my first language is Spanish, so there's certain times that I don't know. I don't want to say things incorrectly. So my cousin and I had a break in separation. I've been working on my relationship with the Lord, and at times, even those loved ones, you have to take a pause. So I did that, and it hurt me a lot.
Yeah.
Well, while I let go for a couple of months, about 5 months, I prayed and prayed for her relationship with the Lord, and I can tell you guys this, yesterday, we sat in the car and we prayed together. And coming from a Catholic family, to pray and be thankful to the Lord out loud, or in my opinion, it was always more, we were more hesitant. Just holding her hand and we prayed together, and she spoke to the Lord in front of me, and it was just amazing what the Lord can do, So I got to praise him for sending the Holy Spirit. My family likes to go out to restaurants and drink. And, you used to think that was fun, and in reality it's not. But you know what I did? I showed up, and I didn't care what they said. And I give praise to the Lord for being there, for being together. And I made everybody bow down their heads and thank the Lord before they start drinking those drinks and realize that, they can make foolish decisions, but we need to start with the Lord.
Amen.
So I need to thank him for that strength.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Lord.
All right. Gilbert.
I praise the Lord for my safe journey to San Antonio and for my safe drive back a couple of days ago under a lot of rain. Pouring rain.
Yeah.
And the vehicles even spun out on the highway out there.
A lot of that going on.
Praise the Lord for my safe return and for my productive endeavor down there.
Amen. Good. Good. Daryl?
I want to praise the Lord. Gilbert's back. I noticed he hadn't been here, and glad to see him back.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Anybody? Yes. Christine. Oh, yeah?
This past week, this past week for us both was just crazy. A lot of unexpected stuff. Nothing was going the way it was supposed to go. Things were just popping up everywhere. And he had to go down to the island and got behind. It was kind of a funky morning, and he got behind a truck that was towing car. The one where it came off in the road at you.
Oh, this truck was going down the road. They had this old clunker like on a trailer, and they hit a bump, and a whole trunk come off and landed right in front of me.
Ooh.
The whole daggone trunk. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do here? And, I'm going 70 down the highway, and he's about four car lengths in front of me. He goes in the middle lane. And so, long story short, there was no one by me. So when it slid over my lane, I was able to just ease on around it and get on down the road. And then something else happened,
there was another piece of something in the road, and he had to swerve to miss it.
No one was in my left lane. I was able to go over the side again. I'll drive down the road and go, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I know you did that one.
Amen.
The piece of junk was falling apart. Must have been a Ford. I couldn't tell. It was just rust. I couldn't pass that one up.
Well, like he said, he couldn't tell. So it could have been Chevrolet.
Could have been a Harbor.
Yeah.
All right. We're in church.
Morning, Tara.
Good morning.
Morning, Lainey. She's wide awake. I see her. She's a happy girl this morning. Anybody else? Yes, Jerry.
Praise the Lord, he's knocking the laziness out of me.
Now that I know you need help in that area,
around the house laziness.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
I just want to thank God for my church and my church family, because I am who I am because of this church and because of all of you people. You know, they pray that I have a good work ethic, and it's because I don't work for them. I work for the Lord. Amen. And I have a relationship with the Lord because of my relationship that I have with this church that keeps me strong. That I haven't forgiven.
Amen.
The gathering
Amen.
Together. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
There's a reason for that. And we'll be talking about that more this morning, later on. Right. What the reason for that is. Yeah, Josh.
I got another one. So I just want to praise the Lord for the customers that we have. This week, you know, we got some bad freeze coming in. You know, y'all know we do landscaping, so everyone's got plants we put in. All of our customers have been talking to us and stuff on the phone. And so my praise is just that our customers and us are so close. It's like friends talking on the phone. And that's really a blessing to be so close with your clientele. It's really cool.
What they ask them how to protect their plants.
Oh, yeah. It's been buzzing quite a bit.
How am I going to keep my palm tree alive? Well, we're getting down 12 degrees. I don't know.
But they're all in good spirits. I mean, we don't have any, you know, because you can have customers that can be kind of jerky. Don't have any of those. They're all in good spirits. Even the ones that we told, look, I don't know what to tell you. It's 12 degrees. Your plant's probably going to die. Okay, well, when they die, we'll call you and come back and place them. You know, so really, really good customers.
Who else? Anybody?
I just want to praise one more time for this community. You know, y'all know that I'm new coming, but it's Valentine's, and I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those women that are like,
Okay.
But I got to say, when I woke up this morning, last year was great because I had my daughter, you know, and the year before she was in my belly. So I've been blessed with those two Valentines. But other than that, it's been horrible. But this year I can say I woke up and yes, I was lazy. It was cold. But I thought about this. This moment that I always feel at home with you guys.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Thank you for
we
being
love you.
So open.
Happy Valentine's. We love
Thank,
you.
And I already got a chocolate.
Hey, there's no commitment.
You know, we really don't.
With the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things that I said. I will give them every Sunday, but not only that, just to continue our relationship together.
We really don't celebrate Valentine's Day, actually. I mean, he wasn't like one of the apostles or anything, okay? And he probably wasn't a saint anyway, because he was depending on his works to get to heaven. But good excuse to show our love one to another. So what we're celebrating is, we do this every year, Show Your Love Sunday. And that's what the little sticker on my coffee cup is for. And that's what the candy's for. And just little ways to show the love of the Lord one to another. Because we're told, I'll be sharing more about it later in the message, but we're commanded to step up to a higher level of love with each other. So it's a very high level of love, more so than most would realize. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get on down to that. But we're still going to remember what the Lord said. He's the one that we celebrate. And the love that he has for us is the reason we're able to have the love that we have for each other. That's what makes all the difference. And so, anybody else? We're going to get into our lesson if we don't. Okay. Ladies, we got two verses, and then we're going to get into the brawling woman in the wide house thing this morning. We're in chapter 21, Proverbs, and we're down to verse number 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. And it's not talking about the wicked getting robbed. It's talking about them doing the robbing. Okay? Shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. there's an honest and right way to do things, and then there's all the other ways. People may see success from dishonesty. They may see success from misrepresenting this or that. They may think that's what they're seeing, but there is a judgment that comes back around. There's just no substitute for honesty, integrity, doing what you say you'll do. There are things in your life that not everybody has to know. You don't have to tell everybody everything. You know, tell them what they need to know. Because there's always somebody out there that's going to try to use it against you. Doing what you say you'll do at the price you said you'd do it, and the best job you know how to do. Integrity. That's what all of this is about. The robbery of the wicked shall what? Shall destroy them. And if you slip up and have a dishonest moment, it's not going to do you any good either, even though you're not one of the wicked. It's not going to work. The way of man is froward and strange. Froward is not forward. It's there's the right way, and then there's froward, the wrong way. And there's lots of choices on froward. And that's our nature. You have to stand against your own flesh nature in order to be honest and upright in your business dealings. That's what it takes. But as for the pure, his work is what? Right. We're going to do it right. Now, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And over in chapter 25, we have a repeat, almost exact repeat, of verse number 9. Verse 24, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. I think there's like one word difference in that one. Is that the best way to deal with it? What's the best way to deal with this?
Face to face.
Huh?
Face to face. Admit you're wrong.
What if you weren't?
You were born wrong. You're a guy.
You know, in Romans, the Bible says that we should be at peace with all men as much as lieth in you. I'm here to tell you that there's a limit to what you can take. I'm sorry, but there is. There is a limit to what you're able to bear. And this brawling woman thing, can't deal with it indefinitely. Daryl?
Now, I'm sad as it is to say, this is a perfectly clear picture of my ex-wife right now. She was just as...
Well, there's a lot of that out there.
Brawling. She's dangerous.
There's a lot of that out there. Anger. How do I say this without being rude?
We won't hold her against you.
Yes,
oh, give it to us, Pastor. Come on.
Well...
We'd rather hear it honestly.
No, Jerry, what do you mean is give it to him, Pastor?
Yeah.
Let him have it.
I know what he's doing.
Just say it.
Well, I was going to say the way to deal with it is just squelch all dissent.
And, you know, it's not... And men aren't exempt from being like this either, obviously. There is nothing ladylike about a brawling or an angry woman. There's nothing sweet. There's nothing joyful. There's nothing pleasant. Women are expected to have to go out in the workplace nowadays and fulfill their duties out there and be the boss if they're you know, sign that and take care of business and do what they have to do and then come home and change completely and be somebody else so that you're not fitting into that other category there. And yeah, that's hard. But let me just give you a little advice. Learn when to shut up. Learn when to just shut up. Just stop talking. Just stop. There is a nature in us. It's not just women, but it's kind of predominant in ladies that you want to get your point across. You want to get your voice heard. And that's fine to a point. But what it really comes down to is that you want to get the answer that you want to hear. But you're not always going to get the answer you want to hear. And the tendency is to keep on and on and on until you get the answer you want to hear, and you're not going to get the answer you want to hear. What is happening now? You just turned into this brawling woman. You just turned into this angry and contentious woman the Bible's talking about when it says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with an angry and a contentious woman. And let me ask you this. Do you want a husband that you have forced to pretend he agrees with what you're saying when you know he doesn't?
Don't wait by me.
But that's when agree to disagree comes in.
No, that's when submission comes in.
Yeah, you never know how to...
That's what submission is for.
You only have to submit when there's a disagreement.
Yeah. And when submission isn't practiced, anger, contention, and this word brawling is a pretty strong word, but it's representing a pretty rough situation.
Would submission apply to either party?
No, it doesn't. Let me explain something to you, and I can't stop all of the idiots and liars from incorrectly teaching this passage of Scripture. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody that'll tell you the truth about this. You find it here, because I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it goes on, and we'll read the rest of that in a minute, but it says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does that mean?
Good. I thought it was submission could be on either side of them.
That's because of the idiots that you've listened to in the past that have told you that. Is there a difference between submitting yourself one to another and submitting yourself to each other?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
And if there is a difference, what is it? Because if I go and look up an ESV or an NIV or something like one of those newer translations, they're going to say submitting yourselves to each other. But that's not what the Scripture says, and that's not what the manuscript says. What's the difference in submitting yourself one to another, or submitting yourself to one another, to each other?
I'm sure it has to do with the actual translation of the original language, but one to another means whoever you're commanded to submit to. If it's the wife to the husband, or the husband to the Lord, or the children to the...
That's exactly correct. Look at what it's saying. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. He tells us to submit ourselves one to another, and then he tells us which one to which other. It's not to each other. That is nothing but chaos. That gets you nowhere. submitting yourselves one to another, wives to the husband, children to the parents. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Lisa was listening to a guy on the radio from a very large church in the area that was saying that the children and the parents should all submit themselves to each other. First of all, you got to remember, there is no call for or need for submission unless there's a disagreement. This thing, if not done scripturally, will escalate into the contention and the anger and the brawling. And what's that going to lead to? If that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, there's going to come a time when he won't be able to live peaceably with it. There's going to come a time when he's going to, and there's no excuse for it, by the way, guys, when he's going to just strike back with his own brawling and with his own screaming and hollering and whatever, which is stupid, frankly. And it won't be too much longer before there won't be a marriage anymore. You want a divorce? This is the way to get one. Because that's what it'll escalate into. Nobody can live under contention, anger, and brawling indefinitely. I can't do it. I actually tried, and I couldn't do it. I made it for 21 years. But there'd a day come, I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it anymore. It wasn't in me. And I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you the facts of life, and this is what we're looking at. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's what it says. Now, how does that look like submitting yourself to each other? You see what I'm talking about? I can't believe somebody would read that whole thing and then turn around and tell you to submit yourself to each other. It doesn't work like that. Everyone is commanded to be in subjection, in submission to someone. The wife to the husband. The children to the parents. The husband to Christ. Oh, well, that's different. That's the invisible Christ. He can't see him. Don't have to look him in the eye like the wife has to look. Excuse me, but we're not just talking about the invisible Jesus sitting at the right hand. We're talking about the body of Christ, which is the church, and it starts with the elders of the body. A wife has a problem, her husband's telling her to do something she shouldn't be doing. What's her recourse? You take two or three witnesses. Where would you get those witnesses? You would get them from wise men in the church. And by the way, I have never seen it go past that, ever. And then he won't listen to them. The Bible says, take it to the church. And of the church, the Bible says that whatsoever you shall bind in on earth shall be bound in heaven. There is recourse. You don't end up just doing wrong because you're under submission. Everybody is in subjection to somebody. Except me, right?
No, even you. Especially.
Who am I in submission to?
To the Lord. Jesus.
Well, that's true, but the invisible Jesus?
No.
Who am I in subjection to?
To the church.
To his body.
To the body. To the congregation. Well, it's the same thing.
The invisible Jesus as well. The one that watches.
Well, that's certainly too. The Bible talks about how the angels are in his hand. Let me tell you something. The Lord knows how to squeeze. He's going to get what he wants. Leslie.
Pastor, I have a question. I was just talking about this. It also made me think, can this also happen as a relationship with, like, your parents, right?
Well, when you're still in subjection to your parents, yes. Once you're up and grown and on your own, it turns around and you become the other side of it after that. But this thing that we're reading about over here in Proverbs doesn't just happen out of the blue. it happens over time, and it grows, and it gets worse. It escalates into, you need to stop it.
Before it gets worse and worse and worse.
Now, the Bible tells the husband to dwell with the wife according to knowledge. Our past and what we're trained to do and how we're trained to do it, jobs we've held and responsibilities we've been responsible for, have made us into people who, many of us, tend to run things and are supposed to and are used to. But that doesn't work in a marriage. And not all men are quick to take initiative and make the right decisions. Some men just want to wait for the wife to make the decision because they don't want to upset her. Do you have any idea how common that is? That is extremely common. And how sad is that? You don't have the liberty to make the decisions that you know are right and you should make because you might upset your wife. There are repercussions and things that are created by this scenario that it's like the ripple effect of it just goes on and on and on. It goes on into the children. You know, we think it's really cute if when we say if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's all cute and all that, and way too often true, but my happiness shouldn't depend on whether mama's happy. My happiness ought to depend on whether I'm doing what right by what the Lord wants me to do. And I realize there's way too little godly leadership in the men. And many women say, well, what am I supposed to do? He won't lead, so what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to shut up till he does. Yeah. There are a lot of things to do, but arguing and anger and contention and brawling are not on the list. Those things will destroy your relationship and your home. It's the quickest way to get it done. Okay, now I got that out of my system. Verse number 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. How are we supposed to deal with our neighbor? What are we supposed to, you know, what's our relationship with our neighbor supposed to be like? And who is our neighbor?
Love your neighbor.
Love thy neighbor.
We're to love thy neighbor.
As yourself.
As yourself. As ourselves.
That's an awful lot.
Yeah, that's an awful lot. We don't like to admit that so much, but it's true. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. And there are some evil neighbors. I've had a few. And in one case, I moved. I sold a place and moved. And I do have better neighbors now. So I didn't move very far, but far enough to get away from those neighbors. Verse 11, it says, when a scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. When the scorner, what is a scorner?
Complainer.
A complainer. Yeah.
Someone who's negative. Critical.
Critical. Yeah.
Someone looks down on people.
Somebody's looking down on, yeah. The thing about a scorner, they're always blaming somebody else. And they're always finding fault in everyone else. That's the nature of scorn. There's wisdom about a woman scorned. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. It is necessary in various things, organizations, structures, business, especially the church. It is necessary to deal with scorners. You wouldn't think that in church that's a problem, but it sure enough gets to be. And it happens. How does the Lord feel about a scorner in the church? We read some scripture last week about things that the Lord hates. These six things that the Lord hates, the seventh, are an abomination. What was that last one? Does anyone remember?
I may not get it exact, but one called soweth strife between brothers.
He that soweth discord among brethren. What would you call somebody that's sowing discord among brethren?
Scorner.
That's exactly what he is. That is exactly what he is. Now we're putting scripture together and starting to understand who we're talking about. Sadly, that rears its ugly head in God's house sometimes. Invariably, whoever the scorner is going to end up a casualty. It doesn't have to be that way, but too often it is. But I will tell you that when action is taken and it, the simple become wise. Scorning and sowing of discord is contagious. I don't know if you realize that, but if you're standing around and you're having coffee with your group, whoever that is, and they're talking about what's wrong with so-and-so and why so-and-so shouldn't be doing this, or somebody shouldn't, you know, somebody else should be taking the leadership, or this one or that one. If you set yourself in a position like that, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get sucked into that. And pretty soon, hopefully you'll hear yourself say it and realize it was you and go, but you will become what you're exposing yourself to. And so if this scorning thing isn't dealt with, there's an old expression that I used to hear on Mayberry, Andy Griffith's show. Remember Mayberry? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Barney Fife. What did Barney always want to say? I want to nip it in the bud. He's nip it in the bud. He was, well, that's, I hate to use such an example as Barney Fife, but when that starts happening in God's house or in your business or one of your men that work for you starts this, the best thing you can do is nip it in the bud. I'm serious as a heart attack because it's going to spread like a cancer. I used to promise the guys that work for me that they will not have to work with somebody with a bad attitude. If you work for me, you're not going to have to work alongside somebody with a bad attitude. And I, you know, sometimes it took me a while to find it and fix it. But that scorning thing, if it's let go, it will destroy whatever you're doing. We're out of time. Praise the Lord. We got that done. we got this one. This one's in the can and goes in the archives now. All right.
Till next time.
Yeah, till next time. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. You know what I was thinking about when I read that? I was thinking about a tiny house. You know, that's just rage and popular and all that, but that's just a novelty. Ain't nobody going to live in a tiny house for very long, especially if you got a couple of kids. I mean, oh, man, you talk about having no place to go. You know how those tiny houses, since there's no room anywhere, they always build a little deck up on top so you can climb up there and get away? Well, there's the corner of the housetop I was thinking about. What I'm thinking, it's better just going up on top of the house and get over there in the corner as far away as you can go, and just a lot better off. Then the next scripture over here in verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness. And when that won't work, just go to the woods. Just go find you a tree stand and